Welcome, everyone, to the 40th episode of the Battle Cats podcast, where we talk about everything Pokemon Go, Go Battle League, and Pokemon Unite. And I guess I'll say in the future, Legends Arceus, maybe?
Oh, yes. When does that drop again?
I believe it's end of January, like January 29th or something. So it's kind of coming up.
Yeah. And then we got the, what was it? Is it Diamond?
Yeah, the Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl.
Yeah,
the Diamond Pearl remakes.
Those are dropping pretty soon too, right? In November.
Yeah, towards the end of the, I think it's November.
Yeah.
I'm excited for those because I didn't play the first version. I missed that gen because of like the age I was at when it came out. Like I was more into Halo and World of Warcraft than that.
Yes.
Kind of thing. Like there was just a, yeah. Anyways. So yeah, we'll kind of, I'll be playing those, but we haven't recorded a podcast because, darn it, life and your schedules and everything that goes on. So we do apologize. We didn't get last week's episode out, but we just couldn't really line up a time, which is kind of tough. Like, it'd be different if you and I were recording a podcast in the same time zone.
But yeah, that's true.
We're recording from different sides of planet Earth here.
Yeah, it's going to be tougher, too, if I decide to move out to the West Coast. But I think by then, the plan would probably be for me to just record at night while in your morning. I think that would be the easiest.
Yeah, we could do it that way, or I could just, yeah, we'll find a time, but
yeah. It'll be 3 hours even further apart.
it'll be fun.
Yeah.
So because we didn't record an episode last week, we actually have quite a bit to talk about. So we got community days, we got mischief events, we got Safari Zones. Go Battle League Season 9 has started, so we got all of that. And then there's been quite a few stuff going on in Unite as well since the last time we talked. So plenty to talk about. We're also going to wrap up today's episode with the hot topic of the Task Force letter or whatever, their findings that they told us about.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that at the end. And I know a lot of you are curious about our take on that. But let's just start with Oshawott, right?
I think we briefly talked about this already, but that is coming up in a little about a week and a half away.
Yeah.
So it would be Sunday the 19th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. local time. And it does have that Razor Shell, so it's as well as Hydro Cannon. So it's going to be interesting. Razor Shell will get the Blaze Kick treatment.
Yeah.
Like for Blaziken.
Yeah, so I'm going to be curious how that kind of plays out and what it does. Because obviously this, when a Pokemon gets essentially two community day moves and it's never been used really in Go Battle League before, it goes from off the radar to super meta real quick, or could.
Right, right.
So we'll have to see kind of how that plays out. But I'm excited for it. I think the Pokemon design itself is pretty cool. Can you hear my son at all or no?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, guys. His my mother, or not my mother, his mother, my wife, needed to leave the house to go take care of something, and the grandparents are over watching, so he's having a little mommy left me kind of thing. But he should calm down here in a bit. So sorry, everyone. I'm not neglecting my son. I'm a good parent, I swear.
Oh, we all know. Yeah, I don't hear him right now. Anyway, now so, at the moment, so that's good.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll see how good Oshawott community day is in regard to, or like in regard to its utility with Razor Shell. I think it really just depends on how good Razor Shell is.
Yeah, because I think it'll be less about the
Hydro. Yeah, and Hydro Cannon itself. It helps Samurott, but it doesn't make it super meta relevant in open metas. So
we'll see.
And triple catch XP, so if you're not level 40 yet or you're still grinding up to level 50 and need XP, this is a good time to drop those eggs, especially if you're not level 40 yet, because you know we want you all to be able to get XLs ASAP, right?
So, yeah, for sure.
More to come
on that once. Yeah, like you said, like we can sim with Hydro Cannon right now, and it gets some nice coverage because before it basically had Hydro Pump, right?
Yep.
So it's like a strict upgrade, but it all depends on what Razor Shell can do in terms of energy, damage, and if there's buffs or debuffs or anything.
Yes. Yes. So, absolutely.
That'd be very interesting. But we also have the Season of Mischief, which is going on right now. And there's like, I'm starting to get confused with all the different little stuff that's going on.
Dude, yes, because the quest line also like pauses, right? Yeah. Like it's like you do some of the quests and then they're like, oh, you know, the quests aren't like loading or whatever, or the professor will be back for later.
Yeah, it's like, congratulations, you threw 5 great throws, spun 5 Pokestops and evolved a Pokemon. I'm going to need you to wait as I do further research.
Yep, exactly. Like, cool, I'm just cool. Like, all right.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't like that style of questing. If you give me a quest that in terms of a story unlocked to a Pokemon, I want to be able to go and do it and not wait. You know?
Yeah, I also thought that you needed to finish a quest line to get Hoopla, because for the Hoopla's arrival quest over the weekend, you had to catch a Hoopla to finish the medal, but it turned out that you got
Hoopla. Yeah, and I didn't, quick. I wasn't even aware of the Hoopla thing.
Oh.
And yeah, so yeah. I missed it. Like,
oh, gotcha. Yeah, it was like an incense event too. So this was this past weekend.
But I don't remember seeing social stuff about Sunday. It. So
yeah, it wasn't super well publicized. In my opinion, I mean, it was in the list of events, but it wasn't, it was like publicized part of the Season Mischief. It wasn't like, we have an incense day.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah. Like there wasn't an individual thing talking about this event, because all of a sudden I'm, you know, seeing people post on Twitter about Hoopa and whatnot. Right. And then I realize, oh, I missed an incense thing that gets Hoopa. I'm like, what?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and because unless you're dropping incense, I mean, some of the spawns will be a little bit different, but it might not be super noticeable. Yeah, it was an interesting event.
I don't know. It was the take on gated. Now the gated stuff, I think, like getting to level 50 was a good way of gated stuff, right? So there's hard stuff to do, right? The time gated part of it was walking X kilometers per week for 8 consecutive, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's a progression that you can see and work towards, and everyone was like, who wanted to push to 50, I feel like felt satisfied by doing it because it was a grind. When it comes to these quests where it's like, look, I'm just trying to get this Pokemon at the end of it, when you have me do a couple few simple steps and then all of a sudden I have to wait and then there's nothing, I'm just like, well, okay. It doesn't flow. There's no flow to it, and that kind of is frustrating.
Yeah, so. it's weird too, because it's like, what do we get from waiting for the quest line? You know, like, how's the story going to be different a few days from now versus like now, right? I don't know. Yeah. I didn't like look at the data mine or wherever. I don't know if it's even available yet, but what's at the end of the quest line for encounters? Because you already get Hoopla here, so maybe you get like Hoopla's other form later on. I don't know. But there's like a bunch of steps left, and I'm just like, I don't know what I'm going to keep getting. Because
I don't know.
How much more exciting does it get? But I don't know. We will see. But yeah, there's a new season, so new different spawns. So people could just figure out what that is. But I think for the Northern Hemisphere, some good spawns that were coming up. Slowpoke, not too bad for XLs. Chikorita, same thing. Also, Meganium, always a solid investment for PvP. You got Cyndaquil as well, pretty solid for PvP, and some other stuff. Autumn Deerling is the Deerling for the North. In the Southern Hemisphere, you got things like Clefairy. Pretty good for XL Ultra League. Also pretty solid in Great League and Ultra League. Snivy, that's okay. We had a community day already too, but that one could be okay for some grass coverage. And they have Oshawa as well, which probably isn't necessary because we're about to get a community day. And then they get the Spring Deerling plus some other stuff. So some rotations, which is probably nice to switch up the spawn pool.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we have those dittos coming in for this month as well for the research encounter, which could be shiny.
Yeah. So, and you can find a shiny Ditto in the wild too.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool. And I've seen posts where people have gotten like shiny Hundo Ditto from the wild. I'm like, that's kind of crazy. Congrats.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I guess more reasons to like see Ditto. Because before you're just like, every time you see a Ditto, you're like, ah, I was like, what's the point? But now this chance with the shiny. So that'll be good. But yeah, and then other than that, I think we got raids still going on with Lugia ending on September 14th. So it's been going on since the start of this month. A lot of people's favorites, myself included. So good time to get a very useful Pokemon for Master League. Not nearly as relevant Ultra League, and unfortunately CP is a little too high for Great League from the raids.
Yeah. Great League is the tough one because you have to get a trade from someone who got it from a monthly box years ago.
Yeah.
So the only time really to get it was back then.
Yep. Exactly.
I've traded like, I don't know, maybe like 10 Cresselias and like 7 or 8 Lugias. So I have Lugias that are like 1540, 1520, but they're traded already. I've already traded, so they're locked. I can't trade it again.
Right. Exactly.
So
I said, I don't know. I hope they do something to bring those back one day, because not only were they useful, like research encounters, breakthrough encounters, but also like it just gives people the opportunities to have them now, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But for Master League, I can attest after running it myself and hitting Legend with it.
Oh, it's nuts.
It's so strong. Freaking nutty. It's so good. And you can just like choose. You're like, yes, you know what? I'll let you take me down. Or you can choose to shield it and just rip through stuff.
I think the only thing that hard beats it is Melmetal.
And even then, you set yourself up.
I've seen people beat Melmetals with it too. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had it where I landed an Aeroblast. I just built up to it because I safe swap Lugia. I build up to it, throw the Aeroblast, and I get the boost. And then I can think, I could decide to double shield right here and farm down, because it takes like three rock slides to take me out anyway. So then you'll have to throw five rock slides in order to take me out. And Dragon Tail is going to rip you down by that time. Since I'm boosted and just Aeroblast you for like 50% of your HP.
Exactly. Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. And anything else like that you face with it, like it can beat. It has potential for beating, especially with energy lead. So
yeah, it's just, it's disgusting. And so if it's in raids right now, so if you can get it, I mean, you know, try your best to do it. Mine isn't 100% either, so if you're wondering, I think
you have 98, right?
Yeah, it's like 14 15 15.
Oh, that's not terrible. I wonder
if it's something along those lines, where as long as I safe swap it, I set myself up an energy advantage. So even if they bring it in, I have energy advantage versus the mirror.
Yeah, so you know.
Whereas if I lead with it, I could face the mirror, you know? So
yeah, for sure.
That's just kind of how I have to play with Lugia, is giving it energy advantage, because my IVs aren't optimal for mirror fights. But it still absolutely rips apart Master League.
Right. So. And its bulk is so high, it's not usually winning CMP against anything else anyway. So unless it's neutral breakpoints, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you saying?
How's your hunt going for it?
It's not going well. So the thing is, I already have, I think, 4 98% Lugias that have 15-15-14 spreads, which is very good. But at this point, I'm just committed to just find the Hundo to power up, because I powered up a 98 already.
Yeah.
But I just figured I'll just keep going for it. But we'll see, you know. It's not the first time Lugia's being around. It probably won't be the last time.
It definitely won't be the last. Yeah. I can attest that Groudon, Kyogre, Rayquaza, Lugia, the birds will all come back again. They always have. They always will.
Yep. Yeah.
Niantic loves to rinse and repeat legendary raids that bring in good money.
Yeah, and these are all solid ones too. So
yeah,
not too bummed about it. But plus, like, I have a lot now to like swap with people and lucky trade. I'll probably just get it from a lucky trade one day instead.
Yeah, how many lucky trades you got now?
Oh, in total? Oh,
yeah.
Let me check. Oh my gosh.
I know it was like over 100, right?
Yeah, I'm at 116 at the moment.
116 lucky trades. Just tell every single one of them, look, trade me a Lugia down the line when we meet. You got 116 chances to get a Hundo Lugia.
The issue is that's over 3 months. Yeah. Like it's gonna take a long time even if I could do all
it's either them, it's either over 3 months or Niantic decides to host like next year a PvP event or something, and then they lift the trading requirements at that event for people like imagine for legendary. Yeah. So you can trade as much as you want.
Yo, I could definitely see people like planning out 100 like special trades for a day, like literally like planning that out.
Oh yeah, I would hold up a sign or have a Twitter post like, you guys can meet me at this location. These are the Pokemon I'm looking for. If you're curious about what I have to trade, I've like marked them with the tag system of trade, and you can just scroll through there and take whatever you want because this is what I need.
Yep. Save up that dust too. You might have to make some expensive trades.
But I feel like that's a long ways away. So.
Yeah. You know, they would honestly, I think they would have to one, increase the amount of special trades you do right now these days, just to help ease some of people's lucky trade amounts, and then also have like global trades for lucky trades. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that wouldn't be a huge, like, these kind of things wouldn't stop people from exploring in the world, you know?
No, once you do the trade, like,
what happens? You still go out and play, right? Like, it's not like, I'm not going to go out anymore because I did a trade with Zionic.
Oh, look, I was able to trade Caleb from across the world because we're lucky friends, you know, and best buddies or whatever.
Yeah.
And, now I'm not going to play. I'm not going to go do community day because I've traded.
After these 10 seconds of remote trading,
I'd be like, yo, Niantic actually cares about our experience in game, and I can trade with all my friends who are best friends.
Exactly.
Bro, I'm opening up gifts every single day again. Like, gift opening absolutely. Is back up. Because right now I only use gift opening because friendship in game doesn't matter for having to do battles like it did before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consistently open gifts unless I need Pokeballs.
Yeah.
Right?
The items. Yeah.
So once I kind of start getting to like, I have like right now I have like 200, 300 Pokeballs, maybe like 70 Great Balls and a couple dozen Ultra. I don't need to open gifts right now. But once I start seeing it getting low and it's coming up to community day, I start opening up some gifts from there. And sure, people on my friends list might be annoyed because I'm notorious for not opening gifts. But I see it as a resource thing because outside of that, I can't do anything. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then the argument could be made, if you open up enough gifts with someone, you get to best friend and then could get lucky friends and lucky trades down the line. But then again, I don't know when I'm going to meet anyone from my friends list down the line, you know?
Yep.
So I'm just like, I just treat it as a resource. And so when I send gifts and open gifts when I need the stuff, but I'm sure people on my friends list are annoyed, but understand I'm not like neglecting you guys on purpose because I don't foster our care about our friendship. Like Arrow, oh my gosh. Arrow and I took like, I think 2 years or something like that to get to Ultra Friends, which is 30 days of opening gifts.
Arrow is pretty bad at it for a while.
Yeah, we're trying to see who was worse.
Toshi actually was one of the worst for me. I mean, he was good to get to Ultra, but we were friends for the longest time. It took us almost 2 years to hit best friends. It was nuts.
Yeah. So for anyone listening who's on my friends, let's understand that it's not because I'm like, I don't want to open gifts from you. It's just an honest how the friends list is used right now for me is just getting resources, and I don't want to pay for more backspace, you know, so I have to balance that.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, down the line, if they're like, hey, you can trade with best friends, I'll be like, look, I'm ripping open these gifts every single day. We're going to get best friends. I'm going to get you guys all in a Discord chat so we can all do the trades. Mm-hmm. But I doubt that day will come. So.
People get hype about getting lucky friends these days. And like when they're not my locals, I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm excited too, but like, I don't know when the next time I'm going to see you.
I'm excited
like,
for 2026.
Yeah, I was like, I was in no rush if we hit a lucky friend today or 5 months from now because it's not going to change.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I have a bunch of lucky trades with even some of my locals that I just haven't made the time to see as well.
Yeah,
so.
I've got some luckies from locals from my old community.
Yeah.
Because that's when I was grinding friendship was back then with them. So they're all they're all best friends.
Right, right.
And thankfully, we had a while back, I can't remember what event it was, but we had that widened trade, so you could trade within like 40 kilometers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was able to knock up all of those lucky trades, which is great because I could just sit on my couch and they're a couple towns over within the distance and then, you know, do those trades. But
for sure. For
speaking
sure.
of meetups, right? Like this segue. Uh-huh. Safari Zones.
Yes. So Safari Zones, they rescheduled them. And it's, so they rescheduled them for in-persons. I don't know if you got an email about Liverpool's events, but I got email about the St. Louis one saying, if you'd like to show up to the, if you're planning on showing up to the actual events, RCP through this site or whatever, or through your game, blah, blah, blah. Here's instructions.
Right.
They didn't do that for Philadelphia yet, even though that's before St. Louis. I don't know if that one just doesn't need RCPs or whatever, but they're coming up kind of quick for in-person. So they rescheduled the Liverpool one for the 15th of October, the Philadelphia one for October 29th, and then St. Louis for November 12th. And I don't know about you, but in my area, COVID rates are going back up. So,
oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Humans are silly.
Be safe if you plan on going.
Humans are silly. And every single one listening to this is a human, unless it's someone's dog in the living room kind of like looking. We're silly, dude. Like, everyone's like, oh, man, I got vaccinated. I'm double vaccinated now. Uh-huh. But I still wear a mask. Because the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting COVID or passing COVID.
Yep.
So you still need to, you know, do the social distance and wear the mask. And I know there's a lot of you listening that disagree with that or whatever, and that's totally fine. But it doesn't stop COVID rates from blasting back up.
Yeah. The local college near me, it's like Kosher weightlifting team there, and we had to wear masks even when we're like in practice and stuff and in the gym. But it's a college campus. All the students are back. Like, there's no like restrictions or whatever. And they're all in class as well. They're all like standing or sitting in the shuttles with like 40 plus people in a shuttle.
Yeah.
And I think about 95 plus percent of them, maybe more, are vaccinated, double vaccinated. And there's already like over like 100 cases of COVID.
Oh yeah.
You know, and they're all isolated and they're like, there is like increasing. And school's been, they've been in session for like a week, maybe two weeks, you know? Yeah. And I'm just like, and I get it, college students, they're just like, you know, we're probably still going to go party or hang out or whatever and share drinks, exchange other bodily fluids, you know, like stuff that just isn't like very safe for public health measures. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's I don't know. I mean, I think just school, my personal take is I think for schools in general, I get it, for colleges, like they probably need the tuition, or not tuition money, but like the room and board money and all that stuff to help cover some of their costs. But they opened way too soon, in my opinion. Like, they should have took at least one semester off, like at least consider opening in January rather than the fall, because it's going all back up, and I'm just like, we're about to go into quarantine 2.0 or 3.0 again. Everyone's going to be sent back home.
And then with different variants, like the Delta variant. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I think everyone, the wider perception, right? I'm not saying every single individual person, but the wider perception was like, once we get the vaccine, I'm good to go. Can do whatever. But I told my wife this when it first started. I was like, look, this is probably going to take years, and it's going to be similar to how the flu is. Like, everyone gets the flu, right?
Yep.
You can get the flu. You can get a cold. It happens. It used to kill people. It still kills people. Mm-hmm. But we have the medicine now to fight back against it so that you can recover. So, like, COVID is going to, in my mind, is going to be like part of that. Like, it's gonna, you're gonna get the flu, you get your flu shot, you know?
Yeah,
that it's gonna be like that thing. But we still have to, in this like hyper time of COVID cases and whatnot, you still gotta have safe practices. And it's like, just we're just gonna keep wearing a mask wherever we go. It was like I went to a, we have a little food corner, and I talk about it all the time. Every Friday, we got a little food corner, little food trucks that come up. And I went there last week to get us some food, and I wore a mask, and I was the only person there wearing it. The only person. Yeah. And I'm double vaccinated, and I thought, like, it's just going to spread all over England. And sure enough, it is spreading, but I don't know. Anyways, back to the safari zones. Anyways, we tangent a lot.
It's fine. I mean, it's just, yeah,
This is applying. COVID affects everyone. Everyone on planet Earth.
It does. It does. And we're just going to, it's not like Pokemon Go's issue, like fault or anything like that. Because these events have started. It's just a more general.
But last year, because this is where I'm confused, because we've been in COVID for so long. Was last year's the one where they made it so you could buy a ticket and then just play from home?
Yes. So the good news is for these, if you had the ticket, right? So you can't buy any of these tickets anymore. If you didn't buy it last year, you're not able to buy it now, right? Which is fine because it's probably for the best. We don't want more people buying tickets to go to in-person events, right? But if you bought a ticket last year, just like last year, if you don't feel comfortable going to these events in person, you still could play remotely from wherever you are at. So that's probably going to be what I'm going to do. I have the tickets for Philly and St. Louis. So I'm just going to do that just to play it safe. And then you have the Liverpool one, right? So I think you can still play that one from home.
Yeah. So I think I bought the Philadelphia one because at the time when they announced the sales was right before COVID kind of was hitting.
Yes.
So I bought Philadelphia because I thought I was going to go to it. We were going to have a big mega tournament there.
Yes.
And I bought Liverpool because we were definitely going to have a mega tournament there because I was in talks with communities there and whatnot. And we were playing like a big tournament, and then all got shut down. So I have those two tickets. Right? I participated in the home version of those two last year.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is why people can't buy into it this year.
So my guess is because let's say people want to get the tickets and they want to go to in person, that just increases the amount of people at the in person events, right? So that might be bad just for, well, safety reasons, but also like overcapacity reasons if people actually all decide to go. Yeah, that's my only guess.
Yeah.
But because it'd be if everyone could play remotely and some people want to still do the events remotely, it'd be nice, right? And that's more money for Niantic. It's not
exactly.
Big deal for them.
So I was thinking, okay, if they have a maximum capacity for in-person events and they take that as the people who bought last year automatically are slotted for the in-person event, but anyone could buy a ticket for Safari Zone, but it's not an in-person event. You don't get the special QR code to participate there. You could just play from home and make it like $3.
Yeah.
Like how do you create a massive stream of income with the creation of a QR code? It baffles me. I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, what are you guys doing?
The only other thing I get, well, it can't be that hard to code. What I was thinking is like, maybe the people that want to buy the new tickets, it's hard for them to code to avoid them from being able to RSVP to the in-person events. So hypothetically speaking, if it's really hard for them to code that, they might get it so that the people that originally bought tickets can't go to the in-person events if they have a cap on the in-persons for RSVPs. Yeah. But I don't know if they're going to hit that cap, first of all. And second, like, I don't know. I feel like it's worth trying to figure out to code it so that they can't RSVP.
It's like a very simple thing. You just run a second campaign of like Safari in your backyard. So you get the same spawns as the Safari 2020 event, but the ticket holders from that year get to go in person. And when you get to that place, you scan a QR code with your account and then, you know, or your email or whatever at the event. So there'd be a big sign. And if your account has the ticket, you're allowed in, you know, like.
And the thing is, like, the people that have tickets, they get to do it again remotely or in person.
Yeah, exactly.
They already played the event last year.
Yeah.
But the people that don't have tickets, they never even played this event. So it's going to be like, I personally don't mind if we get the same exact spawns last year, because last time around, like, there were some pretty solid spawns. But yeah. like, I'm going to get the same sponsors last year, I assume, right?
Yeah. So, like, I think it was Relicanth for Liverpool.
Uh-huh. It was Alolan Sandshrews. And Seals, yeah. I think, for Philly.
Yeah, which is beautiful because I had those just in time for the first Little Cup.
St. Louis does have Fairthorn, actually. So, okay. But looking
at the roster from last year, there's nothing that's making me go crazy. Like, I've saved all the Relicants, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. I bought the ticket last year and I played last year. Probably not going to play again this year if it's the exact same thing.
I hate to say it, but as easy as it is in our mind to make another type of event for other people. Remember the Canto events and how people that didn't buy tickets still got access to it and all this stuff, and they had to like give some like additional bonuses to people that spent money on it. Yeah. Like that was like people weren't even trying to buy tickets and they had access to event.
No. It's conceptually not a hard thing to do.
Oh, I don't disagree with you at all. I'm just saying my guess is I don't want to talk bad about people programming the events and stuff, but they made mistakes about things that were they're easier to avoid, I guess is what I'm saying. So
I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, I'm sorry for everyone listening who can't buy a ticket for this year to play from home. And I'm sorry that my buying a ticket last year allows me to play two times of this event.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry about that. I can't do anything about it. There's been a lot of feedback in the Niantic creators chat room, whatever you want to call it. It's not the task force thing. That was a special meeting.
Yeah.
But there's where they give us announcements and we can give them feedback. There's been enough chirping in there. Trust me.
I got you.
Anyways. So if you didn't play last year and you had a ticket, look forward to this event because there's some cool spawns.
Yeah.
And you have to look back to get those. Because this actually doesn't tell you what the spawns are.
Yeah, my guess is they're probably going to be the same ones from last time. It'd be even more wild.
Yeah, but you would think they'd put it on here, right?
Yeah, they should.
I don't know why. Why is it so hard? No, oh my gosh, Niantic. Come on.
I don't know. Maybe we'll hear about it in their monthly blog next month.
Maybe.
Speaking of some, just to wrap up the events for this month too, we do have Uxie, Mesprit, and Azelf appearing in their respective region from the 14th to the 1st of October, which honestly feels like a little too long in my opinion, but they are getting their shiny forms at least. We have 3 weeks of raid hours. That's how long they're going to be spawning for. But just the ones respective to the regions too. So remote raids are going to come in handy there for sure, because you can get all the shinies for the other regions if you raid them hard enough. I think Uxie, that's the one in Europe, right?
Pass.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway,
I don't know.
The one in your region, the one with the yellow head.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's Uxie. That's probably the only one that's like really meta relevant for PvP. It's got some interesting coverage for Great League and Ultra League too. So,
I thought that was the Japan one.
Japan one is Mesprit, I believe. Yeah.
Because I thought I remember seeing when they originally came out that the Japan one was the best one for PvP.
The funny thing is I actually don't even have one from Japan, so I actually don't know. You're right. That is the one. Yeah, yeah.
I knew.
So we're both right. It is Uxie. But it's the one from Asia, yeah.
It's the one from Asia, yeah. So we teamwork together to dig this up. I didn't even look up anything. I just remember I couldn't remember the names of them. Again, it's a generation I miss. Sue me.
Yeah.
but I remember the feeling that I got shafted on my region for PvP. That's the feeling that I had. Yes. I was like, mine's not good for PvP. Dang it.
Yep, mine isn't either. Self, do it for the deck entry. Maybe a shiny if you're a shiny hunter, but no need to raid too hard for any Yeah, I was talking to one of my locals. They're like, oh, we doing raid hour next week too? I was like, yeah, I don't know. I was like, because Elf, I don't really. We have 3 weeks of raid hour too if you really want to do it. But I was just like, I'm probably going to pass on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we will have that. And then a quick highlight on spotlight hours. We had Spoink recently, double dust for that one. We have Baltoy this upcoming week on the 14th. Double XP for catching. So honestly, if you're not level 40 yet, you got egg up these events, man. This is a lot of XP. Yeah. Skitty for the 21st of September, double candy for catching. Skitty is one that you would need XL candies for if you want a XL Del Caddy in Great League. Mm-hmm. And then Alolan Meowth for September 28th. It's double candy for transferring. Now this last one is actually suspiciously good. So the reason I say this is because, let me just double check this real quick. Alolan Meowth does not get 100 stardust for catches. It's actually quite a lot. I think it's Alolan Meowth, let's see here, Alolan Meowth gets 750 base stardust. A regular Meowth is only 500. Alolan Meowth gets 750 stardust. That is essentially this event. Little do people know, is not really double candy transfer is the bonus for it, but Alolan Meowth is 7.5 times the dust for regular catches. So you essentially have a 7.5 times dust event for a spotlight hour for 1 hour, which is kind of nuts.
That's kind of nutty.
So drop that star piece and you know, you're getting, I don't even know the math on that, probably
getting a set of GBL rewards,
yeah,
for every catch that you can quick catch,
yeah,
with
over 10 times. Yeah, it's kind of nuts. So if you're low on dust, or even if you're not low on dust, you probably want to play the September 28th Alolan Meowth events.
Yeah,
one of my friends might be visiting me that week, and I'm just going to be like, I'm going to peace out for an hour. I'll be back, but I need to play this. So that's a big one. But yeah, those are the September stuff. And then we also have, we're in a current Psychic Spectacular event right now until the 13th of September. And we have Inkay's debut, which involves the Malamar. You need 50 candies, and it says you have to turn your phone upside down.
Yeah.
I've never tried that because I haven't involved
one
yet.
I saw it on Twitter. Someone recorded them.
Is it actually required?
Yeah. So someone was on the Pokemon's page, you know, the profile where you see the Pokemon and you can power it up and whatnot. And then they just turned their phone upside down and then it evolved it.
That's a funny mechanic. That's interesting. Yeah.
Well, it's what you had to do in the main game. You had to turn your 3DS over.
Yeah, but how does the game know it's upside down?
Wizardry.
Technology. Anyway, yeah, so other stuff appear in the wild. You got like Drowsy, Abra, Solosis, and Gothita. Drowsy is probably a good one to have for XLs for Ultra League Hypno, although it's not super required. And obviously you got Inkay as well in the wild. Another fun one actually is Wobbuffet. All over place in the wilds, and that is a good one to have XLs for Great League if you do have the 100% purified Wobbuffet. I do not, but I'm just going to collect the XLs anyways because these things do not spawn in the wild very often. And you know, one day if I get one, it'll hopefully be ready.
I remember thinking I haven't seen a Wobbuffet in Go Battle League for a while I was doing my sets. A little bit back towards the beginning of season 9. Mm-hmm. And then I faced a Wobbuffet, came in, and I had Cofagrigus in the back.
Oh, that's perfect. That's like a complete wall.
Are you doing XL Best Buddy Purified Wobbuffet? Welcome to the new meta.
Yeah, that's a deadly matchup for
Wobbuffet. It was funny.
Yeah, their best shot is throwing Mirror Coach, which is just an awful move.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a psychic event we have right now. Pretty decent spawn, so can't complain. And Inkay or Malamar is definitely one that you want XLs for Ultra League as well. I think the rank 1 spread for level 50 is 3-15-15. So I haven't really simmed too much into it. It does have interesting movesets, though. And I've seen a bunch of YouTubers make recent Malamar videos. I haven't watched videos myself, but definitely something you want to hunt for. But yeah, it's got cycle cuts, superpower, and foul play are the ideal moves for it.
Yeah.
It also has side beam as well if you want some more psychic damage, but typing's interesting.
Yeah.
Psychic
dark.
Dark, yeah. So.
Yeah, it threw me off when I faced it the other day. With my
takes neutral from fighting, takes neutral from dark.
Yeah.
Takes.
I was able to take it down with a Charmeleon and Ninetales. Let me just say that. but yeah, it was cool. It's cool to see. It's got a good moveset. Like having, if you initially have a good fast move, like Psycho Cut, which is the equivalent of like Mudshot and Thundershock, so it's very nice at energy game.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is some decent, like mid-level charge moves that have coverage, and you're kind of good to go. Like Superpower Foul Play, pretty nice in terms of balance because you got coverage to ghosts and psychics, but you also have coverage to steels and normals and rocks, you know, so there's a good spread of coverage there.
Its type char is super interesting too. So it's like very, doesn't really resist much. It's not weak to much. Yeah. So it's double weak to bug and it's weak to fairy. And the only, but that's it, right? That's the only vulnerabilities it has. But the only thing it resists is psychic. It doesn't resist anything either. So it's it's weird, but
it's going to take a ton of neutral damage from everything.
Yep. Yeah, which is could be interesting too, you know, because you don't, I mean, fairy pretty common. You don't see bug damage that frequently too.
No,
so,
you really don't. You only see it pretty much from like lunge or mega horn or X scissor.
Exactly.
Depending on the metas that you're in.
Yeah, you'll see some in Great League, a decent amount of a few bugs here or there. But for Ultra League, besides Galvantula and Escavalier, you don't really see much bug damage, you know?
I mean, I would argue like Scissor might be there.
Oh, Scissor, yeah, to a degree, yeah.
Scissor, but that depends on what they decide to run.
Right, and most tend to run Night Slash with Iron Head.
Iron Head, yeah.
So,
Tomato, Tomato. I think it's more,
Bullet Punch,
so. Has more deadly counters if you were to go in the Remix Cup.
Yeah.
Because stuff like Beedrill, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But. So definitely probably an interesting one worth investing for if you find a good one for Ultra League.
Yeah.
Myself, personally, I've been spending so much dust on Ultra League stuff that I'm like solo on dust at the moment. I'm like under like
100K. You've been spending a lot lately?
Yeah, because I play the Ultra League Specialist in Factions, which is
the team format.
And so I've been building a bunch of random stuff lately. I was also doing a fun stream. It was like sub battles like 9v9 with is Jorgino and over this past weekend, and we had 9 of our friends battle each other, and then we battled each other in the end. So of course I had to like make some spice picks for our battles for fun. So I powered up a Unova Stumpfist for Ultra League. And, I made a Zama for Master League. That one I caught a hundo of, so I was like, I might as well just try this out. Which that thing's pretty busted in Master League. It's fighting type. He counter swapped my Zama with the Mewtwo, right? With psychic type. And I'd snarl and crunch on it with superpower. I land the first crunch, get a debuff. He no shields it. And then I just double shield his side strikes and I snarl it down. Like snarl the Mewtwo down. Come out. He comes back in with Excadrill. I have 100 NG and I just double move. I could have thrown two close combats. I always went for a crunch first, just to grab a shield, and then I threw another close combat and just one shots it. It's just
nice.
It's so strong. Yeah, that and Zacian are just really strong.
Yeah.
So I burned a bunch of dust. Essentially, long story short. But,
nice. I'm on the opposite side where I haven't spent much dust, because when it comes to Ultra League on the cycle coming up. They unbanned, and we'll talk about it, they unbanned 10 Pokemon, basically.
Yes.
For the remix. So that means there's 10 most of my roster was banned.
Yep.
So now I have 10 more Pokemon that I could use, so I don't really need to invest in anything unless I deem it, like, super necessary and I have the resources.
Yep.
And then Great League, I obviously got myself a Cofagrigus. I think I powered up something else. Oh, I powered up a Greninja.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't gone too hard because I have a lot of depth there, so I can still do variety with what I got. So I'm just kind of still like holding on to dust.
It's really the XL mods are just dust intensive. You know, Great League usually it's not too bad because most aren't XLs, but like those like that level 40 to 50 like power ups is just brutal. It's like I'm like dumping like half a million every time.
Yeah. And then since Master League is coming back, Master League Premier Cup Classic is coming back, then again my whole roster is now open back up because I got
you don't have to spend any dust there.
I spent so much dust in that last year. And then for it to disappear, oh, dude, I was so livid. I spent like 2 million dust powering stuff up.
You know, I feel bad for the people that excelled their premier teams.
Oh, yeah.
Because like if you made like a level 50 Magnezone, you can't even use that, you know, in XL or in Master League Premier Classic. But
yeah,
we'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, so actually we'll talk about it now.
Sure. Yeah, Season 9 started last week.
Yeah, Season 9.
Did you drop a star piece?
I did.
Okay, good. I hope everyone listening dropped a star piece. I do my best to remind everyone every season to do it because we got a lot.
And I made a slight...
300,000 if you were a legend.
Yeah. A decent amount even if you weren't. I made a slight confession when I was notifying everyone on Discord about it, too. I was like, hey, heads up. I was like, but I didn't share this with people, but... it's happened to me at least twice now that I forgot to. And I was just ashamed of it. You know, it was just like, I was like, oh, I'll drop it when I have like stuff to catch, you know, I'll like spend out the rest of the 30 minutes catching stuff. And so I just won't open it up like my Go Battle rewards. Cause for me, it's 4 PM. So there's plenty of time left in the day, right when the season turns over. And I'm like, I'll just drop a star piece when I'm ready to like go out and like grind for 30 minutes and like catch some stuff on top of it. And then I'll go and like go into the battle screen to like do some buddy hearts and stuff for my buddy. And then like to fight the like Candela or whatever. And then of course it just triggers the rewards. I'm like, oh gosh. I wish they just like just simple quality of life is you open up the battle page. And there's like a claim reward, you know, claim end of season reward. It just doesn't like surprise you right then and there, right? It just makes life easier for everyone, right? Like when you're ready for it, press claim, right? Star piece, whatever. But yeah, hopefully everyone got their dust for season 8 because we did get quite a bit. But yeah, a lot of things going on for this season. Again, we mentioned this actually last time around too, actually, because we talked about the different changes. But how's it going for you so far? I assume you're playing Remix?
Yeah, I've played majority Remix. I did open Great League yesterday for the first time.
Uh-huh.
But it's been fun. I like having Remix as an option instead of just Great League.
Yeah,
because when I went into Great League, literally every single team that I faced at the time was like level 17,
18, 19.
Bastiodon's, Medicham, Sableye, Galarian Stunfisk, Azumarill, Altaria. Like, there was no spice. It was
Skarmory Swamperts?
Skarmory Swamperts with a third. I saw
Arrow complaining about that on Twitter.
Just all... I don't blame them. They're strong. Strong team, Pokemon. I don't blame them at all. But I do enjoy variety. Yes. Which is why I like specialty cups. That's my favorite.
Absolutely.
Remix Cup has been fun. And I think, oh my gosh, dude. So one of my patrons, Zerafelrose, he's a really good battler. He pushes like leaderboards pretty much like every season.
Yeah.
But he likes to come up with some like unique off the top teams.
Mm-hmm.
And he made this team last season and then he decided to race someone else in my patron community who's also like at the same kind of like leaderboard caliber. Mm-hmm. So they're going to run this team and race to level 20 to see who gets there first. And it was Golbat, Greninja, and Empoleon for Remix Cup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, dude, the team absolutely rips when you didn't know about it.
Yeah.
When you don't know what the team is.
That Greninja is a wall to Frostlass.
Gosh, it rips.
Huh.
Yeah, because Golbat on the lead is super strong. You can set yourself up, especially with like the Poison Fangs and the Shadow Balls. The safe swap Empoleon is going to draw out that fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Drill Peck to force that shield. Golbat can come back in and farm down and be loaded. And then Greninja endgame just sweeps so many teams. Now, the only trouble with this team is before I made a video on it, the only thing that really tears this team apart is an electric Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. A Lantern.
Right. Yeah, so like an Electrode.
Up quite a bit,
an too. Electrode or a... Unova Stunfisk isn't too bad. Lantern as well, yeah. Unova Stunfisk isn't too bad because it's also weak to water. Mm-hmm. But the first game that I tried with it, I couldn't remember what the lead was. It was bad lead. I swapped into Empoleon, and then Electrode swapped into me. And it just double shield. I didn't double shield. I one shielded so I could get a one from them. And then they had a Shadow Machamp in the back as well. So it was over.
Gotcha.
But that's the thing is electrics. Other than that, that was the one time I faced. It was on my first battle. The rest of my battles that I did, which I ran for like 3 days. So I did easily like 60 plus battles. I didn't run into electrics. But when I make the YouTube video on it, 9 out of 10 comment. Not 9 out of 10, but you know what I mean. Like your team's weak to electric.
Yeah.
This team sucks. It's weak to electric. I'm like, thank you. Welcome to Pokemon. This team is weak to electric, but yeah. I never saw it. I saw it once, but electrics, I'm guessing, it might be a bit more prevalent. Now, especially Stunfisk, the Pancake Man. I was just like, oh, my Pancake core breaks my team. But it was super fun to use, especially with the setup of draw out the fighter, have an addition. Like, Greninja just swept endgame every single time. It just, like, it can nearly one-shot a Nidoqueen with just a Surf.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my gosh, it was so much fun to use. I was sad to make a video on it because I didn't want anyone to know because we were having so much fun. But anyways, yeah, I've been in Remix Cup running a bunch of random stuff. But that was my favorite team was from that Seraphel.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun one for sure. So,
yeah. How's your time been?
It's good. I did make a new team too, and unfortunately, it does beat yours.
And so goes the circle of our teams.
Yeah, there's some play for late game, but it's a Frostlass lead with Scald Poliwrath and a Whiskash in the back.
So, right. Yeah.
So that just lines up like pretty. I mean, I think like if I get the Poliwrath on your Empoleon, then the Greninja has some play against the Whiskash, right?
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. But you won't have switch advantage throughout. So
yeah. So like,
depend on how
the play behind the Golbat the shield, is yeah. If it's a neutral matchup,
yeah,
or a winning or a losing matchup, you bail out into Empoleon because if it's neutral. You want to have that energy for the Shadow Ball or energy, you know what I mean?
And Empoleon, you'll just, you get locked.
You basically sack him and throw the Drill Peck at that fighter that comes in or the grass that comes in.
Yeah.
I
think the play would be, I would have to go Whiskash into.
You'd have to go Whiskash, and that would have to be a read that you know there's Greninja in the back.
Yep.
Well, but if you didn't, Instinct might have you go Poliwrath. Maybe.
I appreciate the heads up because now if I do see that team, I'm going Whiskash. I mean, Whiskash into Empoleon is actually not too bad too because the Drill Packs actually do hurt the Poliwrath quite a bit. So
yeah, and then on the flip side, Waterfalls start to chunk Whiskash too.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not without play. We'll definitely see
there's play, on. But the only the reason why the team works so well is because no one knew there was a Greninja in the back.
Yeah.
So I gave it typically 1-0, 2-1 shield advantage. And by doing that, because I knew that the hardest counter was off the table, it just destroyed. It was so great.
How's Greninja versus Lapras, by the way, out of curiosity?
Not too bad. Uh-huh. Night Slashes do a good chunk.
Right.
I think the one or two times I faced it, I was able to farm down like a Nidoqueen.
And then have
energy.
Yeah.
So I wasn't facing on the fresh fight. But obviously, like, even though we resist Ice Shard and Surf, it still chunks a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think another time too, I had a Lapras, like they let the lead Pokemon go down. The Lapras came in to farm Golbat. Because it was like in the red. And I threw like a Poison Fang and got the debuff. So then the Night Slashes really started ripping. But I had 2-1 shield. So I was able to block the two Surfs and just take it out. Because Night Slash is super quick with the bubbles.
Right.
So it's not.
Whole team
it's not
beats Nidoqueen.
Huh?
The whole team beats Nidoqueen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, my whole team does too. Which is why every time I see Nidoqueen, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be a good time.
Yep.
But yeah.
That's good. It's it counters the meta that I saw basically, that first week.
I'm enjoying Remix too. I mean, we're approaching towards the end of 2 weeks, and I'm like still not really tired of it. It's actually been quite nice.
I didn't do any battles today because I had some other stuff to do. But when I did Great League yesterday, I remembered why I like Remix better.
Yeah, Open Great League is just becoming. I'm trying to think why it's so meta meta dependent these days. It's just I don't know. I think it's just some of the Great League mons. The difference in power levels is just too big to overcome. By using spice, you know, once I use something spicy, but like it's just not consistent to win.
Yeah,
like,
the spicy has to be able to capture the probability of facing the specific core of Pokemon you're gonna see.
Yeah,
but on one hand, you could see a Medicham, Bastion, Galarian, Stunfisk team.
Mm-hmm.
On another hand, you could see Bastiodon double Shadow Razorleaf team. On another you could see Azumarill, Alolan Marowak, Sableye, or you could see Venusaur, Galarian, Stunfisk, Pelipper. Like, there's so many different variants of super meta Pokemon and meta teams that you necessarily can't counter all of those with a super spicy team.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still do well, but it's not going to be like... It's crazy. I can predict Great League teams so easily, Open Great League teams so easily, because it's all teams that we've run forever.
Exactly.
You know? Like, they, I faced one where it was Medicham on the lead, and then they safe swapped into Sableye, and I'm like, there's a Pelipper, a Galarian, or not a Pelipper, a Bastiodon or a Galarian Stunfisk in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, it was Bastiodon. It was over. Or, Bastion on the lead, and they safe swapped into a Shadow Victory Bell. I'm like, oh, what team are you running?
No one safe swaps that unless they have another Razor Leafer.
It's okay. I was running Nidoqueen, so
that's not a fun time for them at all.
Yeah, they didn't have a fun time. But I think this season, I will say about this season, I love the variety that there is. Going on a more positive note about the leagues.
Yes.
So we have Remix. Like, if you're like, if you want to run meta and you're listening to this, like, stop dogging on my team. Dude, I'm perfectly fine. You play how you want. That's the beauty of it. That's what I want Go Battle League to be like, is you get a choice. You want to play super meta. You want to do some Remix stuff. However, but I think the adjustment to Remix in Ultra League was fantastic. Taking the banned Pokemon from 20 down to 10, because that gives us more variety with our investments. And because the bans weren't necessarily targeting XL Pokemon, they were targeting what everyone used because that's all we have. And then we see another Little Cup this time around, which I think is going to be interesting considering they're allowing non-evolution Pokemon. So like an Altaria can be in it, or a Tropius can be in it, or a Galarian Stunfisk. And those are some of the top ones. I'm like, so it's basically a little Great League.
Yep.
And then we get Halloween Cup again, which is beautiful. I'm excited for that. Ready to dust off my Crustle. Then we get Ultra League Premier Cup Classic, which is literally, I think, one of the biggest leagues I've been waiting for, because that was like the promised land. It was like Great League 2.0, where everything goes, and there's no XLs. And then we get Master League Premier Cup Classic, which again is amazing. For those of you who are maybe new to Go Battle League and you haven't played in Master League Premier Cup Classic, it was Master League, but no legendaries. Like, it was so much fun. Like Machamp, Haxorus, you know, Garchomp, Togekiss, Snorlax, Conkeldurr, Metagross.
Excadrill is going to be a big one this time.
Excadrill, Dragonite. Like, everything, like, the pseudo-legendary, it was super fun, and, like, I had fun with Haxorus and, like, Gyarados, and, yeah, fun stuff. And then we have a specialty cup, which is a player's choice, so we get a vote on that, I believe, on Twitter, on what we want to play, so we'll have to see what the options are.
But
this season, it looks like they actually listened to us. We want variety, and we want options where it doesn't feel like last season, where, wow, I get a choice between Master League and Ultra League Remix, like, what, you know?
What do you call it? The I'm blanking on what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Emory predicting right now, going to be a lot of, going to be a decent chunk of double charm teams in Master League Premier Classic with Sylveon.
Oh my gosh.
I can see her ready.
That's fine. Maybe I'll like run, I'll run my Haxorus, Metagross, Gyarados team that no one saw. No one, not a person. I said, well, I said it now. If that was a team I remember. Haxorus. The last time Master League Premier Cup was out in the classic version before 50, I got my Haxorus on a Sunday and the leagues rotated on Monday. So I did my sets with Haxorus, but then didn't make the video on it because the leagues were rotating. So I needed to make the, this is the next league coming. Here's some of the top teams, or here's some team I'd, you know, that kind of video.
Right.
Thinking, nice, I'll be able to, I got a ton of wins with this Haxorus team. It was super fun. And I'm like, I'll run it next season. And then it was gone off the planet of the earth. I'm like, no one knows I had this Haxorus and that I like climbed like 250 rating in a day and a half. It was great. So I'm excited to try it again. But if I'm going to see double charm, just make sure I have that Metagross in the back.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that'll handle it. But yeah, it's GBL season 9 for you all. We'll have, next week will be an Ultra League, so we'll keep you all updated on that.
Yeah.
But Unite, I will say, I've yet to play. It's been a while. I've just been busy with stuff. I've not been like neglecting it purposefully. Yeah. But the funny thing is, the last time I played was right before they dropped Blissey, and they've already nerfed Blissey before I got back to it. So
I thought they buffed it.
Oh, did they buff it? I saw an update. I didn't read through.
Everyone's kind of confused because they announced an update to Unite, and then it was just Blissey, buffing it when they it needs a nerf.
Wait, that makes even less sense. I didn't read
unless
the
it was edited. The original post I saw was from A Drive going, "You mean to tell me?" He said something along the lines of like, "You mean to tell me
in the world?"
Did you guys like send the tweet out too early? Because the website only has one thing and it was on. Let me go double check. I could have read it wrong, but I believe that was the case.
Huh. Why would they buff the one Pokemon that's like super strong?
I'm not sure.
Details for adjustments. So this happened. It happened last night, actually, or yesterday.
Yeah, it got buffed. Blissey now has increased stats of special defense. And then Safeguard got buffed.
Cooldown reduce, and then Safeguard plus increase the amount of damage. What?
Yeah.
What did people say?
People were like very confused because they didn't apply any other nerfs or buffs to anything else. And then they buffed one of the most broken things that you could have on a team. Because now, from what I've seen, I mean, obviously I haven't, I don't know. I don't watch a lot of the top like ranked players. I don't know if they stream. But I know from experience when I played with Blissey that if you run Blissey with crowd control and hard hitting fast moves, if you time whatever the move is called, I can't remember, but it makes everyone's auto attacks the best version of it for a short period of time. And so you can just rip apart so many things. So Blissey was very beneficial on teams. Plus the healing was incredible.
That's just nuts. Because the last time we talked about Unite, you're saying how broken Blissey is. And they buffed it like in every respect.
They buffed its other thing so that they want people to run that.
I guess so. But that they didn't. That's fine. But they usually nerf the good moves too. You know, and we're in to balance it out more too. They buffed the move that doesn't work as well, and then they nerf the move that
it's kind of like the Zeraora thing where everyone's like Zeraora is kind of broken, especially when like lower ranks when you're trying to climb, you just discharge and then choose your movement thing if you want the teleport or you want the three wild charge, the three leap or whatever it is. But discharge was broken, so we all thought it was going to get nerfed, and it got buff on the other on its other move, and you're like, okay.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I guess I didn't miss too much. I'm just going to come back to even more souped-up Blisseys, but...
Well, what's new is Blastoise is out.
Yep. Yeah, I did see game clips of Blastoise, too. It looks pretty strong, too, apparently.
Yeah, I've played some games with it. Granted, it's super tough to get it when I tried to play.
Oh, yeah, because everyone wants to play
it. Because what happens on the character screen, for those of you who haven't played it, when you buy a new character, it goes to the end of your roster.
Uh-huh.
So what you want to do is when you get into the pick character screen, you want to tab to the left. Mm-hmm. That way it goes to your last Pokemon on your roster so you can play it.
Yep.
But when you're playing at like high rank stuff or just playing when a new Pokemon drops, a lot of people buy that Pokemon and they all go to the left. So it's a game of who can whose thing is registering the fastest to get that Pokemon. Because everyone's newest Pokemon is Blastoise.
You change your favorite, like your first one. Mine's always a Charizard because that's my first one that I got.
Yeah, but that doesn't apply to when you pick. It's just on the home screen.
No, I know. I'm saying like I wish they had an option to change.
Yeah, that would be
it's
nice.
It's so annoying to like sometimes it's like in the middle and like there's no faster. I like Googled and there's no way to get to it any sooner.
But. Yeah. So Blastoise was kind of tough to get. But when I did get it, it was quite fun. I need to put in some more games, but because of family stuff, which we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to actually stream a lot lately.
Yeah. That's fair.
I'm going to be getting back on Twitch once I get a regular schedule going because we just got so much going on right now.
Right.
But yeah, Blastoise is fun, but it's like everyone's just trying to get it. But I guess the other big thing besides Blastoise is the mobile launch on the 22nd of September, which is coming up quick. That's 2 weeks away.
Yeah, so. That is. I noticed that some of the hype has died down a little bit from it.
A little bit, dude. It's died from lot. Unite overall.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Did you see the first like week of streaming on Twitch?
Oh, yeah. It was nuts. Yeah.
It was nuts. It's like 150,000 people watching, and now it's like 5.
Yeah. I so here's my thing, right? Because you played League and I played Dota, so we both played other MOBAs.
Yeah.
The tricky thing with Unite is everything's time-based, so it gets really repetitive at times, right? Like, yes. Dread always spawns here. Zapdos always spawns this time. The game is always done at 10 minutes. So the issue is like, there's only so much variety that can happen in one game from game to game. Whereas in like League and Dota, like every game is unique because every game can end in a different way at different times. And, you know, like the spawns are like, you know, all over the place too, right? There's so much more customization for each character and each player as well and each team that like the outcomes, there's the amount of outcomes are like infinite, right?
Yeah, Unite, and then you got the builds of the individual.
Yeah.
Whereas Unite, which is like, why it's been like one of the most successful, like esport games in the history of esports, right? Yep.
They've been both games have been around. Unite, Dota and League have been around for decades. You know, almost 20 plus years at this point. It's kind of nuts, but it's just. Maybe not that long, but almost 20 years. But anyway, yeah, like those games are long lasting, and I don't know about League, but the Dota essentially the world championship this year, the total prize pool is over 40 million. It's like people are still very invested in this game.
Oh yeah,
I think the issue with Unite is that it's tough, right? I think the 10 minute games are fine, but. In some ways, they kind of shoot themselves in the foot there because they're limiting how much customization can happen.
It ultimately comes down to the vision that the Pokemon company or other like whoever owns League of Legends has for the game, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So League of Legends' vision for League of Legends is the dominance of esports and making sure it's esports,
right?
So it has to have depth and craziness. Pokemon, on the other hand, is not the depth of like esports. Their main goal and primary like drive is fun and accessible generational games.
Mm-hmm.
So it caters more to the casual player and the. Like, I'm excited for my son when he grows up, you know, he's maybe 4 or 5 and he wants to play Unite for the first time, you know?
Right.
Like that, I think obviously the game will be around then, maybe not as many players or whatnot, but the game will be there. So stuff like that, because it's generational stuff. Like he could play, like, what is it? yellow and red version, right? Mm-hmm. If I get them, if they come out with it on the Switch, or I get whatever, however I get him to play, he could play that game because it's generational. Yes, the graphics aren't good, it's black and white, you know, but still there's some nostalgia to it. So that's how the Pokemon franchise is built, is for the, and that it's a great business model when it comes to stuff. That's why it's the biggest IP on the planet. But on the flip side of that, it also isn't going to be the biggest competitive wise because they don't cater to that.
Yeah.
So that's why I see like Unite is like, it's just fun to pick up and just play here and there. But yeah. And you're right with the 10 minutes and the Dreadnought and the Rotom and the Zapdos. It's the exact same game with slight yeah. variations based on teammates yeah. and team's choices.
Like
it's
you, the same. You have to do, and you have to do it, right? Like you can't just like, we're not going to do Dread this time around.
Yeah,
like,
we're going to push, go for it, right? You know, we're going to push two towers
yeah.
instead of going for Dragon and,
exactly.
you know. Yeah.
Like,
so where I think Unite maybe needs to capitalize more on the variety is having different game modes than just the 5v5, the 3v3, and the 4v4, and the 3v3, 4v4 that rotates, you know, like every other day, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Different what, game modes that provide like a whole new spectrum of play.
What do you think about items? Like not the items they have, but like in-game items, kind of like League.
I mean, I'm always down for it.
It's right, but
yeah,
it adds a lot more depth to the game. I think it's just tough in 10 minutes, right? How much
it's tough. Yeah, that's the thing.
You farm up items for like 8 minutes, you get it for 2 minutes. You know, like
yeah. So they're again, their business is cosmetics and the casual player being able to play.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's okay. But it did, it's very super hype when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, mind you, we said like 150,000 on Twitch. Right now, there's 3,000.
Yeah.
And that's just people just dropping off because it's not as sustainable long term. Whereas League of Legends right now has 181,000. And there's not even a tournament going on. When a tournament goes on, even you know, more. That thing's yeah. up 300,000-400,000.
Yeah. And that game's been around for years, right? Like, you know, it's been around for dude. Like... what,
yeah,
a month and a half.
So mobile, I think we'll see the same burst. Mobile will come out, I think it'll, Pokemon Unite will jump back up, because everyone listening, if you still haven't played, you're waiting for mobile, it's a fun game.
Yeah,
but understand, you can't play for 8 hours a day every single day for the rest of your life. It's just not, it's not gonna happen. You got to do it in waves, kind of. So I like playing when new Pokemon come out.
Yep,
play it for absolutely. A couple of days, and then, you know,
I'm sure, like, you know, when they reset the season and you're grinding back up to master, people can play a little bit more again, but like
probably, yeah, just, true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's interesting.
I don't know. I don't have the answers for what it needs to sustain 150,000 people hype watching on Twitch yeah. all the time. I don't have the answer to that. But it's just where it's at. But it's still, like I said, like we've played a ton. I've put in so many hours in this game. It's a ton of fun.
Yep.
It's a ton of fun. And it's great too, is like I do like patron Saturday nights. I haven't been able to last weekend, but where I just play with patrons, like we all get on and get in voice chat and Discord and just play casual games together. And it's a ton of fun. Like I think our overall record right now is something like 19-5.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, as a little group, and different people rotate in, because if there's more than five of us, we get a queue where everyone kind of rotates out. So if, you know, patron one got in, he'll be the first one to go because he's played so many games. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. just rotating in and out. But it's been fun. So I'm excited to see how that develops with the mobile version, to see kind of what happens there, and everyone has it in their hands being able to play. And how it performs right. is the other thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah.
We'll see. Looking forward to getting back into it and seeing some really souped up Lissies.
Yeah.
I can't believe that got a buff. I didn't even read through notes. I was like, oh, they just nerfed it, right? I was like, it's all the same to me because I never even played a Blissey, but played into one. But here we are. Hot topic. We got an update from Niantic on the outcome of the task force.
Yeah.
You want to do a brief overview of what they said?
I mean, yeah, sure. Let me pull up the thing just so I don't make sure I say what they said. So first and foremost, I'm sure a lot of you, everyone has heard that they permanently made the distance from 40 to 80, which is the initial spark of this whole campaign that's going on. But again, like I've said multiple times, like everyone in the community said multiple times, it's more than that. There's everything else in the game, from all the issues with Goat Battle League, the issues with raids, this and that, the friends, all this different stuff, the not telling us the chance of Pokemon from eggs, right? All this kind of stuff. So there's still ongoing talks. But basically, they've outlined that we've heard the community, we're listening to the feedback, we've given you 80 meters back from 40, and that's going to stay a permanent thing. They've given back seasonal global bonuses to the communities who had them taken away, like New Zealand. And then communication. So they're down the line, they're going to provide, they're going to update the known issues page and prioritize giving better visibility and status with existing bugs. So we'll be able to see more of what they're actually doing instead of them going fast move, sneaking through, known issue, currently testing. Like, you know, that doesn't give us any.
Right.
Fast move, sneaking through has been in since the start of PvP. Like, you know. So they're going to be more transparent about that. On top of that, from our side as the people talking to the task force, we're going to continuously have more meetings and give them more feedback as we go about it with specialty topics. So like this, that, you know, talked about another talk potentially coming up or something like that, and what topics we want to talk about. And me and some other people are like, go battling. Like, you guys need to talk about this. Because we feel like we're left behind as a community. But anyways, yeah, they're, how do you feel about it? Because I know I was a part of it, but how do you feel about it?
Yeah, it's tough. It's just that we didn't really get to, the reverting the distance thing, I think that was good to start things off. But I was a little underwhelmed by the letter, or like the, you know, like their outcomes. Like they're just like, they're going to do a developer diary every other month. Not even every month, every other month, actually. Every other share month, yeah. Latest priorities, events, and features for the game. So latest priorities, events, and features for the game. They pretty much already share events and features for the game right now. Priorities, yeah. Like, I don't know. What does that really say, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to like hate on it without knowing what it looks like. So I'm just like a little hesitant. Don't know.
As someone who has talked to them and someone who's been in this community since the beginning of the game, I'm still not giving them money right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told you guys a while back that, look, I'm done giving Niantic in the game of Pokemon Go any money until I see them actually addressing the issues that have been at hand, especially for the Go Battle League community. Right. Since its creation, right? As of this letter, I'm still not giving them any. I'm missing out on stuff, but I'm not giving them any money. Mm-hmm. And I won't until they actually fix these things, you know? Till they show a history of it. And that might be a while, which is the sad thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the thing is, what do you call it? I don't know. It just reads like safe, like corporate jargon, you know?
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. Like I feel just like Niantic puts, cause I look at Pokemon. So I look at this feedback, right? The post from the task force, and they said they're going to publish a develop diary, share the latest priorities, events, and features. And then I look at Pokemon Unite and they go updates, even though this one is the worst one they've done yet. They still done updates with bugs, fixes. We're increasing the special defense of Blissey. We're safeguarding this. And they don't have a seasonal that we're going to tell you every 2 months what updates we've done to the game. They do it as they see fit.
They do it like every 2 weeks.
Yeah, they do it like they're constantly giving updates, telling us what's happening, what's getting buffed, what's getting nerfed. And the notes are very open about that. So both of these companies, both Unite and whoever make and Timmy Studios who makes Unite and Pokemon Go and Niantic have to report to the Pokemon Company because it's their intellectual property, right? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you look on one hand, Unite is much more open about their updates and what's happening to the game. We may not like it, or we may think there needs to be more done, but they're telling us. Whereas Pokemon Go, I'm trying to cycle back to it, is very like vague. And I feel like Niantic has put their own red tape around themselves for no reason, when if they were just open about everything, it'd be much better.
Yeah. Like, we can't even say it's like the Pokemon Company like restraining them from sharing stuff, because you see you see the flip side example from Timmy Studios, and they're providing plenty of info while still having the same, like, you know, corporate entity they had to report to, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm thinking, like, you know, you ever watched the show Friends? I know a lot of people will know this reference.
Yep.
When Joey goes and puts on all of the clothes I don't know. He just goes back in and puts on every single shirt and every single pant and underwear, and he walks in with like 30 layers on.
Yeah. And he's like, huge.
I kind of feel that's like what Niantic is doing. Like, they're trying to make sure they protect themselves as a company to make sure they're making everyone happy and not, but then they limit themselves because they got 30 layers of clothes on.
Yeah, I feel like the it's almost like trying too hard to protect yourself makes it look worse, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone just wants to see some transparency, right?
Yeah. Everyone wants to see progress.
Yeah, progress and transparency, you
know? We've had known issues, you know. The only thing I'll back Niantic on is that they are aware. That's like, they are aware of the issues. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. They have a known issues page. They're aware of it. But I'm like, at this point, I'm like, is it going to get fixed?
Yeah.
It's been so long. If there was a solution and you knew how to fix it, it would have been fixed. So like, that's the transparency. I'm like, can you not fix it? Mm-hmm. Is there a bigger issue at hand? Have you not given people time to fix it, and now you're going to? You know, that's what I mean, because anyways, Go Battle League has had issues for so long that it's like, well,
just PvP in general, right?
Yeah, it's not like I'm saying, oh, it's been 3 months, guys, it's been years.
It has
years. So I think this is a good step forward, but it's a good Niantic, like, stutter step forward, if that makes sense. Like, we're not making huge leaps and bounds. We're just baby stepping right now.
Yep. So. I agree. But we shall see. We shall see how things go. You know, hopefully they are working hard to address a lot of the issues at hand and a lot of the feedback.
And that's the thing, too. Like, they could be actually, you know, they could have hired a couple extra engineers or whatever to tackle Go Battle League stuff or other issues, and they're working on it right now, but they just haven't told us. And that's what this October update is like. Hey, these are the different latest priorities that we're working on. We've prioritized more resources to Go Battle League, and there should be a patch coming out in November or whatever to fix these issues that are in the pipeline. It's like, oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Nice. November, we get that update. Solid.
Yep.
You know, that's what I'm hoping October says. That's what I hoped September 1st. That's what I hope this was going to say.
Yeah.
But we'll see what October says. And if October is as vague as this is,
are we getting some? Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I have a month to work on something.
Like, we gave you this community day. We gave you that community day. It's like, okay, we knew about that.
Yeah, those are like updates we get regularly these days. So.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. I think October is going to be a bigger one than September when it comes to the information they tell us.
Let's hope so. If it's not, I don't know.
If it's not, I'm just like...
If it's not, we got an easy hot topic for October.
Yeah.
For that first week.
So everyone listening, no, I'm hopeful because I'm a very optimistic person.
Same.
But they're still not getting my money. I don't care what they drop. I do not care what they drop, whatever it is. I'm not FOMOing into anything. That doesn't mean that you can't spend money. You make the decisions you want to do. That's totally fine. And I'm not looking down on you if you do, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do what makes you happy, but
it's a personal decision for everyone.
Exactly. Exactly. And don't belittle or talk down to people who either don't spend money or do spend money in the community, right? Because we're all part of the same community. So let's be positive to each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's going to wrap it up. We've been here quite a bit. Let's see how long we've been going.
An hour and a half.
Hour and 25.
So we did do, we missed out last week. So
we did
had a lot to catch up on.
We did. And I think the big one last week, because if we would have recorded on the day we were going to try, it would have been right after they dropped this.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
I think honestly, most of the events were the same from last week too. The only thing that I could have gave you a heads up on was the incense event because we would have mentioned that.
That's another thing is I rely. For anyone still listening, you guys know I rely on Caleb for upcoming events. So I didn't know about Sunday because Caleb didn't tell me.
Yeah, because we didn't have the podcast. But
That's fair enough.
Drop incense.
Yeah.
But
all right. Well, I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you guys next week. Talking probably about Ultra League stuff, how that's going, and different events if there's other stuff coming up, which I imagine there might be. I don't know.
I don't know. There's not too much on the horizon event wise, which honestly I'm okay with. You know, let's like relax a little bit on the events. I just wanna just do some regular stuff. But we'll see. Well, I guess there probably will be some stuff because we're on like the next part of the season, Mischief, whatever. They just haven't released on what exactly is going to come next, I think. But hopefully by then too, I will have seen what Blissey looks like in Unite as well. So I'll give you an update on that too.
Nice.
Blastoise too, but
yeah. Oh no.
Oh, it seems like we're in the perfect timing.
We're in the perfect time. I gotta head downstairs. So right. Take care, everyone.
All right, bye y'all.